Let's get back to that garden, checking the water and everything. You know, my lawn is a combination of rotor sprays, the big reaching 15-footers, an arcing rainbow of water that goes slowly over, and then some of the harder-to-manage geometric spaces in the yard are just treated with, you know, an 8- or 10-foot pop-up spray head. Those are the ones that seem to be an awful lot of maintenance for me. And what is it that makes a lawn raise elevation over the years? It seems like those sprinkler heads just sink down over the course of 5 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. They're like 4 inches lower than when I put them in.
Well, the buildup of thatch, and by the way, this is a great time to thatch your lawn. People do it oftentimes too early when the grass is not growing rapidly. We want to thatch when the grass can heal itself or grow back quickly. So mid to late May through mid to June, early July is a wonderful time to thatch because your lawn will recuperate. But thatch is the buildup from constant mowing. It's just the buildup of layers of old stems and leaves that are underneath that just cause then the green part. It's just like if you prune a hedge and you've seen old myrtle hedges that are trimmed at the same height year after year after year, and if you kind of part that little green layer that's on the outside, you look inside and there's a bunch of dead stuff in there. Okay, it's the same way with a lawn. We mow at the same height over and over and over again, and you get a buildup of that thatch. So this would be a great weekend to get all your neighbors together and rent a thatching machine and get out there, and it's easy to do. It's kind of the cleanup that's the pain. You got to rake up all the thatch and bag it up. But this is a great time to thatch, which will then help take care of your sprinkler head height to some degree. You may still have to raise a head or two, but that's another point. If that lawn is blocking your sprinkler heads, that's why you got to get out there and look. Most people's sprinkler systems run it, and they should. They should be running at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and there's no evaporative loss and there's no wind. But we don't see that. So we don't see the head that's turned the wrong way or isn't working properly.
Now, if you're going to take the time to rent a dethatcher with a couple of neighbors on the cul-de-sac and pass it around and get it all done, because it doesn't take – the use of the equipment does not take long.
No, it's just like mowing your lawn. It takes as long as it does to mow your lawn, basically.
Zip, 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 zip. Now, once I've got that and I've raked up all this thatch – would it be a good idea at that point? Is that the right time to go ahead and also rent a core aerator?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then just core, because we core aerate in the spring, the lawn takes significantly less water almost all summer long. And
absolutely.
To look just as good.
Yeah, your lawn will look better. It'll take less water. It's a wonderful thing to do. And there again, the core aerating machine is something you do want to probably get some.
It's a heavy booger.
And so you might need somebody that's got a trailer or something that they can pull behind. And again, it doesn't take that long to do. So you've rented this machine for the minimum 3-4 hours, half day. It's kind of nice to split that up, pass it around, boom, get it back, maybe while everybody else is raking and cleaning up.
And I've done it both ways. I've taken the plugs and raked them up and got them up, and then sometimes I just let them dissolve back into the soil. I mean, ideally, once I core aerate, rake the plugs up and spread some gyp.
It's a great idea to take gypsum or soil sulfur and put it on there. And then what I like to do is spread it on there, leave the cores on there.
Okay.
Spread your gypsum. While you're doing that, those cores are kind of drying out a little bit. And then just go over the whole thing with your lawnmower without the catcher on it.
Got it.
And just chop it all up. And then you may have to kind of rake it around a little bit. But all that stuff will kind of find its way back, you know, in the holes, especially if you add sulfur and gypsum to kind of help particulate and get down in the holes along with the fragments of the old cores. If you wanted to, maybe a little sand even, but I don't recommend that. I want those holes to stay open a little longer and get that gypsum and sulfur down in there is a great thing to do.
Well, and this is a 40-year-old lawn, you know, so it's just, it's been watered, it's been packed on, it's been played football on. I mean, it's tough.
Yep.
But when I finally did break down and throw a corator on there, I was extremely impressed with how much less water I had.
And you need to corator it. We get a lot of people that want to buy the little golf shoe spike things to strap on their shoes and walk around or use it. All that does is make a compacted hole. It just takes the soil that's already there and jabs it down in tighter. So you need to remove the actual piece of material of soil to open that up.
Right.
And if it's something brand new, like a lawn that hasn't been watered or, you know, I was just starting mine last year, I got done, I got it corerated, and I thought, oh, yeah, this is great. This is great. I've got everything right. Well, listening, that plug that needs to be deep. Mine was like, you know, a half inch. Yeah. That was some tough dirt.
You got to water it a couple days first. Yeah.
That corator just kind of bounced across the lawn.
It did. But I thought I was doing the right.